Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. This is the conclusion of our study titled Sola Scriptura, the authority of Scripture alone. This is part of a series on the local church and can be found permanently posted at BBFOhio.com. You will also hear these messages on our 24/7 internet radio station, BBFOhioRadio.com.
Listen, folks, you replace God's Word, you go insane.
Yeah.
Evolutionary theory, evolutionary cosmology, all that is proof of it. Proof positive. It's crazy. They're ashamed of God's Word, so they reject creation. They're ashamed of God's Word, so they reject miracles. They're ashamed of God's Word, so they reject the virgin birth. They're ashamed of God's Word, so they reject the vicarious atonement, wherein by believing in what Jesus has done on the cross, you can be saved, and trusting in His death, burial, and resurrection guarantees you eternal life. No, let's go take one little portion of Jesus' teachings, and let's teach the Sermon on the Mount, and say that you're a good person, God will let you in, which is a total repudiation of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Over and over throughout, it's being ashamed of God's words. Those people are going to stand naked before God and give an account for the fact that they were ashamed of God's words. When people reject the gospel, they're rejecting the gospel because they reject the Word of God as the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's why it happens. A few more pages to the Gospel of John. Mark, Luke, John, chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 47. Now, you ever heard of these red letter Christians? People say, well, I'm a red letter Christian. You're telling me you're not a Christian then?
Yeah.
Amen? Jesus says that the so-called red letter Christians are liars. We're going to see in this text, you cannot believe the red letters if you don't believe the black ones.
Amen.
This is what Jesus says here in John 5, look at verse 47. Read it with me. But if ye believe not His writings, how shall ye believe My words? Read verse 46 and 47. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed Me, for he wrote of Me. But if ye believe not His writings, how shall ye believe My words? If you don't believe the black words, you don't believe the red ones. There's no such thing as red letter Christians. They're a bunch of frauds. And a lot of preachers are preaching that nonsense. Scripture is our authority, and it's all of it. From Genesis to Revelation. All 66 books. Turn over to a few more chapters. John chapter 16. John 16 and verse 13. And Jesus referred to those black letters, those black letter words, as what He would give as a fulfillment of this prophecy. John 16, verse 13, read that. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you the things to come. Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Those are all for you today. And Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 3 John, Jude, Revelation. All those were what Jesus is talking about here. When the Holy Spirit came, Acts chapter 1, He gave the book of Acts and everything through Revelation. And if you read those, the Holy Spirit's not a charismatic. The Holy Spirit didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit talked about Jesus and the things that pertain to the kingdom of God, revelation of the mysteries and the future things.
Amen.
Along with how to behave. Amen. Now, you either take all 66 books of our King James Bible or you reject the whole thing. There's no middle ground. You need to think that through. There are a lot of people out there who hem-haw and play the fence. They're not playing the fence. They're on the other side. They think they're on the fence. They're on the other side. When I was a kid, there's some property behind my grandpa's place, and we were told not to go beyond this fence. Well, we thought we'd be smart alecks, And we went beyond that fence because there was another fence. And this fence was only partial. So we went beyond that to the other fence. And we were out of sight, you know, far enough away they couldn't see us from the house. And, well, you know how boys are. You're out in the, you know, have to relieve themselves. And so boys do that, you know. And so what I found out the hard way was that was an electric fence. That hurt. Now, amen. I mean, what? That doesn't that get the point across? You had better stay within the fence of those 66 books and rightly dividing them.
Amen.
You get outside of that as a Christian, 1 Corinthians 3 could destroy you. Amen. That's just a friendly warning. Look at John 17, 17. A couple of chapters over. John 17 and verse 17. Jesus didn't say we could be sanctified through the traditions of men. Jesus didn't say we could be sanctified through philosophy. Jesus said in John 17, 17, read that. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Romans 10, 17. Turn on over there. Acts, Romans 10, 17. These are all wonderful memory verses. That was John 17, 17. Now we're going to Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17. And this was one of those verses that when I first read it, it just kind of blew my mind when I realized what it was saying. Because faith can only come from God's words.
Amen.
Read that. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The only way you can be saved is by hearing the Word of God. If tradition is an authority for our faith, why didn't Romans 10, 17 say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, or tradition? Doesn't say that. If faith can come from any source outside of the Bible, then the Bible itself would be a lie. Get that? If faith can come from any other source outside of the Bible, it makes the Bible itself a lie. Because the Bible itself says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Not the traditions of men, not the traditions of your church, not your superstitions. Why believe the Bible? Here's a quick checklist. And you're not going to be able to write all this down. You can get the heading and then take some notes or watch the video later or something. But I got to move through these. But number one is the documentation. There's papyrus fragments and letters written by early Christians that contain the entire New Testament, all within one generation of the apostles. No other ancient book like it. All these goofballs running around telling you, oh, there's the Bible. They didn't even start writing it until 500 years after the apostles. Blah, blah, blah. People are goofy. That's scientifically false. Historically false. We have papyrus fragments and we have letters of early Christians from the second century that have all of the New Testament in their writings. We could compile the New Testament from those fragments and writings itself. There isn't a single book like that on the planet other than the Bible. Historical support. There isn't a single historically documented fact that contradicts the historical data given to us in the Bible. Back in the 19th and 20th centuries on throughout, they've been teaching students in Harvard, Yale, and the other seminaries that the Bible contains historical error. Well, lo and behold, through archaeological digs and historical research, they found out that the Bible was true. And what did they do? Admitted they're dumb? No. They just rewrote the textbooks and pretended it never happened. And they're still doing that to this day. History Channel and PBS and all of them do it. Number three, archaeological confirmation. Not a single archaeological discovery has contradicted any information in the Bible. You'll have people tell you it does. Tell them to put up or shut up. Show me. Hand me the documentation. They can't do it. It's not there. Number four, longevity. No other book has remained the bestseller and most controversial in existence for 2,000 years. There ain't no other book like that book, folks. Ain't no other book like that book. Spiritual handprint. No other book has had the sanctifying, purifying effect with so many millions of testimonies confirming its divine source and effect on lost souls. The Quran doesn't do that for people. It makes them blow themselves up. Amen. And you talk about these nominal Muslims who aren't blowing people up, they don't even go by the Quran. They just kind of carry it around like a lot of Christians do their Bible. But they're not serious. That's true, and it doesn't matter what book you talk about. The flawless prophecies. Not a single prophecy in the Bible has been left unfulfilled, except those which are set in the future. And even those are being fulfilled before our eyes. The Quran, that you can't say that. The Bhagavad Gita's or the Buddhists don't even have Hindus, they don't even have prophecies in them. And the Book of Mormon, it's a joke. I mean, there's no prophecy that's ever, one of these days everything's going to blow up, the world's going to end, I'm a prophet. I mean, who can't do that? Tell me some dates and events and things are going to happen like the Bible does. No other book like it. Finally, the relentless and violent enemies of the Bible. No other book is so hated by Satan and his minions, and for the reasons that it is hated as well. I mean, not just that it's hated, but why is it hated? People know. It's in their conscience. They know one of these days that book's going to judge them.
Amen.
That's what they know. A couple more verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. And just like Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, but here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it point blank says, you will not be saved if you do not accept this book as the Word of God. Look at verse 13. We're going to read it. I'm going to read it. I want you to follow along. For this cause, also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, there it is again, calling the epistles the Word of God, not just the red letters. When ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, which is tradition, but as it is in truth the Word of God, watch this, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You see that? Only if you accept this book as the Word of God will it work. Why is America going to hell in a handbasket right now? Because they've been talked out of their faith in the Word of God. And so they don't view the Word of God as the Word of God, and therefore the Word of God is not working. You can go up and knock doors, you can talk to your family and friends, and you can preach the Word of God to people, and they just blow it off. And that's why America's going to hell. Now, James 1:21 says something profound when it comes to this subject. Why is the Word of God our authority? Because only the Word of God saves your soul.
Amen.
It is only by receiving the Word of God as your infallible authority that you can be saved.
Yes.
James chapter 1 and verse 21. And you get there, you want to mark this in your book. You want to mark this. Read it with me. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Stop being a trashy heathen, and turn to the Word of God, and receive the Word of God, which is able to save your souls.
Amen.
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 Not the traditions of men, not the sacraments, not the teachings of the church, not the teachings of the church fathers, not the Apocrypha, and not your mother or grandmother or your opinion. The Word of God. A couple more pages over, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And Peter is talking about prophets. He's talking about true prophets, the prophets of God. And Peter refers to the written Word, that Bible you have, as a more sure word than the utterances of the prophets. That's what he's saying here in verse 19. But before that, you read up above, he says, in the voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. They're even talking about hearing the voice on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then he turns around and says, look at verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. There's no church fathers, church council, creeds given by the church. It's not of a private nature. It is given in this book. It's for everybody to read. And you have the Spirit of God in you that will lead you and teach you. And Peter says it's a more sure word than even the voice he heard on the Mount of Transfiguration. Not only is tradition not equal, not only is the Word of man not equal with the Word of God, but the Word of God is so far above anything else on the planet.
Yes.
The psalmist said, "Thou hast magnified Thy Word above Thy name." You go to these churches where there's no Scripture, but they like to sing in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, I'm all for singing the name of Jesus as long as you don't put that praise and worship music above the teaching of the book. Because the book, the Word, is above His name. God said so.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Last place we're going to look, Revelation 22. People try to use this verse to lose their salvation. And that's not what it's teaching. Verses 18 and 19, we're going to see that cults adding tradition and undermining the authority of God's Word are damning their followers to a lake of fire. Verse 17, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will." Calvinism out the window. "Let him take the water of life freely." Now read verse 18. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." This is a serious charge, and it's about these religions taking the words of God and ripping out the parts they don't like, or adding tradition that make it of none effect.
Yeah.
And those people are going to hell.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And those who believe their lies will follow them, the blind leading the blind, into the same hellish ditch. Amen. We stand with the book.
Amen.
If you stand with anything else, you will fall.
Amen.
If you're saved tonight, it's only because you've believed this book.
Yeah.
Now, if you're sitting there thinking, "Well, I don't really believe the book, but I believe I'm saved," you're deluded. You had better get this thing right in your mind and be able to tell your friends and loved ones what you heard tonight. Because outside of that book, it's hell.
Amen.
I mean, hell in this life and hell in eternity.
Yeah.
And people say, "Well, I don't believe a God of love would cast anyone into hell. I don't think a God of love would send people to hell." God made hell for the devil and his angels. If you go there by your own choice. God is not sending you to hell. If you go to hell, you choose it. You choose to reject His Word, and you choose to embrace the fire. There ain't anybody going to stand at that white throne and blame God for going to hell. Calvinism is stupid. Calvinism telling people that He only chose certain people to go to heaven, and the rest will be able to stand there at the great white throne and say, "Well, you didn't choose me." Nonsense. God has predestined to save those who believe. It's up to you. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the full price for your sin, you give up on your righteousness, your self-righteousness, and your works, and you rely totally on what Jesus Christ has done, knowing, believing that He rose from the dead, He conquered sin and death, that Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." I'm staking my future, I'm staking my soul, I'm staking my eternity on those words of Jesus Christ. I don't give a flip what the Pope or anybody else thinks.
Amen.
They can anathemize me till they turn blue in the face and pass out. I don't care. Jesus said it. I believe it. Jesus said it, and that settles it. It's His Word. No one else's. Amen? I'm glad you agree.
Thank you.
Why we read in 1 Corinthians 15, I want you to read that with me. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And that just means unless you just flippantly said, oh yeah, I believe. There have been many people have a preacher come to their door, knock on the door, and say, oh, say the sinner's prayer, and oh, okay, well, I'll pray, well, and they don't mean it. Listen, folks, you know your heart. I don't. You know your mind. I don't. And no one else does. But if you have not been serious with God and really believe the gospel, you're on your way to hell. You have purposely put a wall of separation between you and God. Because you've not taken this seriously. But if you will take it seriously and really search your heart and say, I believe this gospel. And what is the gospel? Read verses 3 and 4 with me. Here it is. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's it. You seriously, before God, believe that He died for your sins and paid the full price. He rose from the dead and conquered sin and death. And by that alone, you have eternal life. The Bible says you are saved. But if not, then not. That's how simple it is. You know, religion stinks. Because religion muddies the waters. Religion makes you think that church membership or having a title or something like that is going to help you in dealing with your sin. Let me tell you something. You sinned against God, not the religious people, not the institutions who are giving you all these false promises. You sinned against God, and what He says matters. And if you sinned against God, He is infinite. Your sin requires an infinite payment. That's why you can't work for it. You can work your entire life and do the best you can, and it's still finite. You can never do enough works to pay for the cost of sin. And Jesus dying on the cross was an infinite payment for your sin. And that's why He's your only hope.